All right, here we are in Jurassic Park, Toronto, broadcasting live.
Very funny.
All right, the Maimer was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parshas Nosai. In that year, it was the 9th of Sivan, the year is Tavshin Mem Gimel, the equivalent of 1983. The Parsha of, but the portion that speaks of Birchas Kohanim opens with the words God speaks to Moshe, saying, "Daber al Aharon ve'al banav." Speak to Aaron and his children. Lemer, and this is what you must say to them: "Koyseh varchu es bnei Yisrael." This is the precise manner in which you, the priestly clan, should bless the children of Israel. Omer lehem, say to them: "Yivarechecha goymer." God should bless you. Yori should radiate towards you. Yisrael, he should turn to you. V'samu es shmi al bnei Yisrael, and I shall place my name upon the children of Israel. Va'ani. And God says, I, Avarachim. Okay. So the Rebbe begins his analysis by pointing out, Hinei kachoshev kan hein yonim. If you look at these verses carefully, you will see that actually there are five things enumerated. Five different points being enumerated. Okay. Three are Yivarecha Yor Yiso. Three are the actual Birchat Kohanim. V'achakach, and then Moisef Eid Beis Brachas. And there's another two blessings. The fourth blessing is V'som Shmi, I will place my name upon the Jewish people. That's a blessing. You can carry God's name. And the last thing is that Hashem says to the Jewish people, Va'ani Avarachim, I will bless them. The Bebezin Yonim Achreinim, in the last two of the five, Muvunetz understood, Sha'abrocho Hu Inyan Naila B'Yeser, that this is no ordinary blessing, but rather one that hails from beyond. Because the words Yivarechecha Yor Yisrael, okay, fine. That's a, you know, it's a blessing. It employs euphemism. Yivarechecha, God should bless you. That's nice. Yor should shine his face to you. Okay, Yisrael, turn his countenance to you. But we say V'samu is Shmi. Now that's something. Why? Because Shmi doesn't say one name or the other name. It says Shmi. It says my name. It doesn't enumerate. It doesn't specify which name of God. And that, therefore, would refer to Shmi HaMiyuchad. This refers to God's essential name, as the Gemara in Masechet Sota on page 38 calls it. And then it says, Va'ani Avarachem. So Shmi HaMiyuchad, that's the essential name of God. We know there are numerous names of God. Then there's Shmi, then there's the my name. And lastly, Va'ani Avarachem, the words, and I will bless them, is also Bechinas Ayin. The words Ani can also spell out the notion of Ayin, as is explained in the Maamarim of the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. And Ayin, Ani Oisius Ayin. What is Ayin? We say the world is created by God, Yesh Me'ayin. It seems to be existing. Our world seems to be a very powerful thing, because Me'ayin comes from something which is beyond fathomability. To us, it seems like it isn't. It's the real is, but it seems like it isn't. And that's because it's beyond what we consider to be the frame of reality, of existence. This is like a leap beyond that. And because it's a leap beyond that, so Ayin represents something which is where we can't go, something we can't speak of, beyond our ability to fathom or utilize any kind of verbiage. That's what Ayin is. So this means it's a very lofty blessing. It's a very lofty blessing because we hear indication of a blessing that comes from Shmi HaMiyuchad, which is generally not the case in the Torah. We hear, you know, it's Baruch Atah Hashem, we hear Hashem's name. Here we're talking about Shmi HaMiyuchad, so that's a step beyond. And number two, Va'ani indicates Ayin, and Ayin is where our verbiage cannot touch. It's something that's beyond our reach. So that's point one. V'chein muvan gam etchilas hakasuf. The truth is that within point one, which is that these blessings are from beyond, it's also pretty clear from the beginning of the pasuk that something remarkable is going on here. These are no ordinary blessings. D'chsiv, it says, Koy Sivarachu. So the Rebbe says that the words Sivarachu, which in Hebrew is a euphemism for the word bracha, bracha means blessing, Sivarachu, you should bless. So Koy Sivarachu, this is how you should bless. The Hebrew letters of the word Sivarachu, you shall bless, are Oisius, are the same Hebrew letters, if you scramble them, of Bekisrei, which literally means in his crown. So keter, or crown, represents a faculty that's beyond the ordinary and the everyday. And the idea, oh, it doesn't just say keter, it says bikitro, with his crown. with God's crown. Now we'll speak about this idea of crown in a moment. We'll come back to this. But let's just accept the verbiage at this point and understand that habracha hu nailas b'yoser. What we can see, if we analyze these verses carefully, from the beginning and the end, forget the middle, but the beginning and the end themselves indicate that this is a blessing from a very lofty place, a very high place. These blessings come from beyond. Okay, so that's the first part of the Maimer. We'll come back to explain what that means. What does it mean, Ayin? And what does it mean, Bekisrei? And what is the notion of Shmiya Miuchad? We'll maybe touch on this later. But the Rebbe says, he now does some troubleshooting into this thesis. Here we go ahead and say, the blessing comes from beyond. And even though it's explained in numerous places in Chassidus, that there's a virtue with regard to prayer vis-a-vis blessings. And that is, shahabracha mamshicha rak mimoker v'sheirish hadavar. That a blessing is able to actualize. The word blessing in Hebrew is related to the concept of lahavrich, which means to draw forth, but to actualize, to concretize. So the idea of a bracha is to take that which is somewhere else and to bring it down into this realm. It's like, for lack of a better metaphor, there's an iCloud, but if I don't connect to the iCloud, all the data does nothing for me. So the bracha connects me to that source. I have the ability to access it, but I'm not getting it. I need a bracha. I need somebody to help bring that into my life. You know, people use the expression sometimes, so-and-so has been a blessing for me. What does it mean they've been a blessing for you? So the most powerful way a person can be a blessing for somebody else is not to give them something which they didn't have in their own, but rather to give them that which they always had and didn't know about. That means to be a blessing. A friend can be a blessing, not because the friend writes a check to you, or not because the friend does your job for you, because the friend, and through that friendship, it brings out the best within you. So you say, wow, that relationship has been a blessing for me. A blessing means then something which accelerates or intensifies a natural process or enables me to reach the organic ability that I have, but I didn't know how to develop. And the bracha does that for me. So that's a bracha. When a tzaddik gives a bracha, the tzaddik doesn't create something that you didn't have. The tzaddik, by virtue of his or her connection to Hashem, is able to help you discover who you are. Bring forth your essence. Like it says, Ishki berchase berechesim, that Jacob blessed all of his children, and it says each one got their blessing. Reuven didn't get Shimon's blessing, and Shimon didn't get Levi's blessing, and Levi didn't get Yisachar's blessing. You know why not? Because it wouldn't do anything for them. Only your blessing helps you. You need to be you. You can't be somebody else. So a blessing helps you be you. And in that sense, a blessing is only moving things from point A to point B. You're actualizing. Something is in some lofty cloud nine. It has to be imported or downloaded into your life, into real time. So you're only moving something that was already. It existed already. It has to now be moved into my realm. That's a bracha. Well, a teacher's job, it depends. If you say a teacher's job is just to convey information, which is how it is in the Western world, that's giving something to the person they don't have. But a real teacher's job is to teach how to learn and teach how to think. So if you teach how to learn and how to think, then you're developing the pupil's ability to be able to analyze things. And that is the greatest blessing. So that's a bracha. But tefillah is different. Tefillah is prayer. And prayer is when we ask Hashem Yehi Ratzon, it should be a new will. Even if there wasn't a will, even if this wasn't supposed to happen, even if it wasn't in the cards, so to speak, it wasn't in the program. This is not the ending that was intended. We believe it can be changed, not by bracha, but by tefillah. So in that case, it's prayer that's beyond, not blessings. So why do we talk about blessings in such a glowing way and say, wow, these blessings come from a higher place, from his crown and from Ayin? And what do you mean? Blessing is still just a blessing. It's still just moving something that already existed. But we're talking about tefillah. We should have the Kohen pray for us and give us blessings. So the Rebbe says that, well, that's not so simple. Even though usually and typically we say that a bracha mamshicha, that the bracha actualizes. Mashenkin tefillah eser atzer chadash. Tefillah is encapsulated sometimes in the words Yehi Ratzon Lefanecha. It should be God's will, creating a new will, creating a new pathway or bringing a new reality into existence. Nonetheless, Hari Yadua, it is well known in Torah literature, Shebichas Kainim Eine Deimele Shara Brachas. That's about other brachas. Other blessings are merely a system or form of actualization. Bechas Kohanim is different. Ukimavur Bechamav Drushim, as explained in many expositions of Chassidus, and especially in the ruminations of the Rebbe Maharash, that the Rebbe Maharash says, Miyusud al Sefer al Mitzvahs al Tzemach Tzedek, based on the writings and manuscripts of his father, the Tzemach Tzedek, in his book of mitzvahs, Shebichas Kohanim Hinailas Yeser Mishar Brachas. There's blessings, and there's blessings from beyond. And blessings are about actualization. And then a blessing from beyond, that's Birchas Koyanim. That's big. And Birchas Koyanim is a different genre of blessings. The Yeshba Gamailos HaTfila. Birchas Koyanim have within them the virtue and the profundity of prayer as well. Ad Shehi Yechayla Lifel Inyon Chadosh, Birchas Koyanim can create something new. Birchas Koyanim is, in a way, like prayer. It's interesting to note that the Rambam, in his laws, he doesn't have a laws of Birchas Koyanim. He says, Silchas Tfilo Unesidus Kapayim. He puts Birchas Koyanim and prayer in the same set of halachas. And really, the way that Rav Marash explains, that concept of Birchas Koyanim is like prayer. So, we made the point of saying how these blessings, if you look at the verbiage, you see they're very lofty. That made that point very clearly. And now we're adding and then making the point that not only does it come from a very lofty place which is beyond, but it doesn't really contradict the general notion of the difference between prayer and blessings. So now we're poised to understand the details of what we just talked about over the last 15 minutes. The Zehu, and now returning to our original point, let's go back first to the Koy Sivaruchu. This is how you should bless. And we said Sivaruchu, you should bless, is Oisius, hence the same letters of Bekisrei. Bekisrei means in his crown. The Rebbe explains, Sham shachas habracha de birchas koyanim, that the blessings of birchas koyanim come from what's called in the verbiage of Kabbalah, sfiras hakeser, from the level of dimension, which is known as keter. Umisham nimshach hachakach, and from keter, it comes afterwards into the gimel brachas, into the three specific blessings, the priestly blessings of Yevarechecha, Yoir, and Yisro. V'gam beis habrachas haneisafas, and then the additional two blessings which we mentioned, the samu, God says I'll place shmi, my name shmi amiyuchod, and then the va'ani avarachim. So let me just explain this a little bit. So what does it mean a bracha that comes from sfiras hakeser? What is sfiras hakeser? Why is it? Why is sfiras hakeser meaningful? Okay, so to simplify something which is very not simple at all. Many of you are familiar with the concept of Eser Sfiros. Eser Sfiros is the schematic through which the human soul functions, which is based on the schematic of, if you will, the divine reality. And simply stated, every single person is comprised of head, torso, and legs. That's the makeup of a human being. That's the basic, whether it's the stick man or the robot that they build away, that's the basis. You know, there's head, heart, hands. You can live without feet. Feet are very good. Their mobility. Okay. This is also a schematic for esospheres. The head represents intellectual creativity. Creativity does not mean to come up with new ideas necessarily. Sometimes it's just the aha moment. So, oh, that's what you mean. That's also creative. It's not creative in the typical sense where I didn't come up with a new way to look at something, but I figured out what you're trying to say. And that takes creativity altogether. Sometimes to figure out what somebody's saying takes creativity. So, oh, that's what you mean. Okay. So that's the idea of chachma, koachma. And then we go to bina. And bina is like the word bono, which means to build or develop. And sometimes you may get it in a flash, but I can't really explain it. And I don't really know what I just got. I got it, but I don't really know what I got. And that's bina. And then from bina, we come to das. And das is when it filters through into knowledge. Knowledge could be a bias that a person has. Knowledge could be the way we tend to look at things. Knowledge could be the decisions that we make because of the ideas we have and the way we understand them. And then from there, we leave the world of objectivity, which is cool and indifferent, and we go into the world of emotions, which are seething and impetuous and intense. And emotions, I like that. I really like that. I want that really badly. What do I have to do to get it? Or, oh my gosh, that makes me so uncomfortable. It makes my skin crawl. I'm really, really trying to stay as far away from that as I can. So either I'm embracing or I'm repelling. Either I'm drawing close or I'm pushing far. This is very simple functional terminology for chesed and v'gvura, which is referred to as love and awe. And then we have the idea of tiferes and so on and so forth. Without going into the rest of the Esses Sfiras, the point I want to make is this. Where does intellectual activity take place? If you have to draw a picture of intellectual activity, where would that be? In the head. The head is the seat, if you will, of intellectual activity. And where does emotional activity, where is it centered? In the heart. In the heart. And people embrace with their hands. It says you embrace with your right hand, you parry with your left hand. But the heart, the hands are the extension of the heart. It's like the wings that come from the heart. So that's Ava, and that's Yira, Chesed and Gvura. The hand you give with, the hand you restrain or discipline with. So all of these faculties have a specific area or arena in which, that's where they reside. I'm thinking with my head, I'm feeling with my heart. If you feel with your head and think with your heart, things get very jumbled. And actually it doesn't make sense. It's not logical. To think with your heart is not logical. You can understand sometimes with your heart. You can empathize. And that's called lev maven. That's called an understanding heart. But it means just to be able to have room for somebody else in your heart and understand what they're experiencing. But it's not really an intellectual thing. That's a connection thing. That's an emotional thing. It's a midas thing. So when a person wants something really badly, when a person is driven, they have ambition or desire, intense desire to get something, which part of the body does desire reside in? Where's the address for desire? If you have to draw, huh?
Heart.
No, not necessarily. The heart is, what if the ambition is not an emotional ambition? What if the cool, calculating, it's just a general speaking, this is what I want. What do you want? Not the way I feel about it, this is what I want. It doesn't have to be an impetuous thing, it doesn't have to be a warm thing, it doesn't have to be fuzzy, it doesn't have to have, where does desire reside? You think in the mind, you think in the heart? I'm going to tell you neither. Really and truly, desire, let me put it to you differently. When you want something, which part of you wants it? All of you wants it. When I'm hungry and say my stomach wants to eat, no. My teeth want to chew. That's ridiculous. I'm cold, my hand wants to be warm. No, it doesn't work like that. It what really happens is that when we desire something, all of us is different. Do you know when Yaakov Avinu got good news, everything's going to be okay. He was really worried, and he got good news. It says all of a sudden his feet lifted off the ground. When you want to do something, all of you functions differently. Your head is different, your heart is different, your hands are different, your feet are different, everything's different. You know why? Because you want to do it. What happens when you're forced to do something? You don't want to do it. You drag your legs. My heart's not in it. My mind is somewhere else. And the euphemism continues. The point is, I'm not in it. The famous story that the Alter Rebbe was sitting with his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, his little boy, and he said to his three-year-old grandson, where is Zayde? Where's your grandfather? So the Tzemach Tzedek, the three-year-old, he grabbed Zayde's nose. He said, no, that's Zayde's nose. That's not Zayde. So he grabbed his beard. He said, that's Zayde's beard. He grabbed his hand. That's Zayde's hand. So Tzemach Tzedek was quiet for a little while, and then he said, Zayde! And the Alter Rebbe said, yes. And he said, that's where Zayde is. Because that's where you reach the person, not the hand of the person or the head of the person. It's possible that a person could become brain damaged, chas v'shalom, and can't think. They're not the same person, they're still the same person. Nebuch, they're compromised, they lost the faculty. A person can become jaded because of experiences. A person can be harmed emotionally, have emotional trauma, and they're not able to feel right anymore. They can't empathize, or they can't feel things that normal people feel. So the emotions are traumatized or damaged. But it's not less of a person. A person is not less if they lose a hand or a foot, chas v'shalom. They're a person who has a deficiency, a disability, but they're not less of a person per se. The person is not the sum of his parts. So where does Ratzon reside? And the answer is in the Kabbalah stick man, since he can't fit into any particular area because he's everywhere, that's where the metaphor of the crown comes in. And the crown is all-encompassing. It's around the head. So the crown represents the idea of Ratzon. And there are two levels of the crown. There's something called Ratzon and Tainug. But we're talking about Ratzon now. So when it says that God blesses us, and all this is anthropomorphism with regard to God. That's meaning created in God's image. So if God blesses us, not with his chokhmah, not with his chesed, not with his gura, but God blessing us where? Kaysev varach hu, with his keser. If it's a blessing comes from keser, where's it coming from? It's coming from the level of Ratzon. Ratzon is a very deep part of the soul. So that's the meaning of kaysev varach hu. And from there it filters through into the other levels of Yari Yisa and of Yivrecha Yari Yisa, which incidentally spans the entirety of Eses Sfiris all the way down to Ani Avarachim. V'hine yedua hadig b'zeh b'lekut ha-teira. In Lekut ha-teira it says, Mahu biur seder ha-brachas. How do we understand the order of the blessings? Why not? The lecha'era, ostensibly, heim sholei ala seder. They don't seem to be in the right order. U'mavur b'zeh, and it's explained, sha'as seder, hu milmata l'mayla. It's not in the right order because usually going from a higher place and you're bringing things down. Here it seems to be going the other way around. So we start off the Metchila HaBracha Hu Yivarechecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha. God should bless you and God should guard or keep you. Shehi Bracha Shebeteva. That's a blessing in nature. It says Yizbarchu Nechasecha, that your residuals are blessed. A person could do business, whatever, he does business. And then a person could do business and wow, today it's just amazing. Everything is working. Everything's falling into place. You know, people use the silly terminology, Murphy's luck. I don't even know what that means. So Paul Murphy got stuck with all the problems. Mm-hmm. Right? But this idea that things didn't go as planned. And then things, you have a bracha, everything goes amazing. So you have three stopovers, and if you got there, and your luggage is with you, and you're on time, wow, that's a bracha. Right? Otherwise, I don't know, it's like, can't say it's unusual, but it wasn't a blessed day. A fellow once came to the counter and he said, I want you guys at Air Canada, please, to make sure that I get to Calgary 6 hours late and that my luggage ends up in Halifax. So he said, we can't guarantee that. Why would you ask us to do this? That's what you did to me last time. So things happen, you know. Stuff happens. You hope for the best, you plan for the worst. But then when everything goes amazing, they never make you stopovers that are within 5 minutes. Not that it couldn't work, but it just doesn't work. Because you can't rely, people say, can't rely on miracles. Rely on miracles, I'm relying on Air Canada. Yeah, rely on miracles. It has to, I mean, they said they're going to take off at a certain time. They said they're going to land at a certain time. Well, you know how it is. They said they're going to land. You'll be on the plane, you're lucky. You'll be on the runway a little. So it doesn't exactly work according to plan. Nothing ever really works exactly according to plan. But if it would, that would be, wow, that's a bracha. Well, that's a bracha start. Yivarechecha v'yishmerecha. That's a bracha of teva. Shezekel beis pratim. It includes two things. Yivarecha b'mamen. You should have affluence, wealth, the wherewithal to get whatever you need in life. And v'yishmerecha b'namazikim. Sometimes people could have all kinds of residuals. They have wealth, but it's also being robbed and it's being taken away. So that's not so good. You want to have it, and you want to eat it too. Not just have your cake. You want to be able to eat your cake. So you should have the funds you need and be able to use them without anybody getting in the way. That's on a very literal level. L'mayla mizeh, beyond this, which is not just nature, u'inyan yored avaya panavilecha. God should shine his countenance to you. V'yichunek and give you grace. Which that's hamshacha of bracha m'mayla. That already is like a higher form of blessing. We're not talking about the most ordinary or elemental way of life. We're talking about something which goes beyond. And then, ad shabrachi be'efen shalchein. The way it comes to the point of grace or charisma. V'chuneka is lashen chein. V'chuneka means that you grant you grace. Shiham shacha mul maila midid v'agbala. That's a blessing from beyond. So when that, you get that blessing from beyond, where a person somehow always finds grace. People just like him. It works out. Everything falls into place. It's not just on a technical level. Functionally, things work. It's beyond function. There's a person with a certain charisma, and that charisma seems to charm things. And it kind of greases the wheels and enables things to unfold in a very wonderful way. And that's a hamshacha, which is higher than medid v'agbala. That's not when everything is working. That's when there's something beyond the details. Not only the details
are all working, and not only the details all fall exactly into place, which is already remarkable and blessed, but here there's a power that comes from beyond that. Something more than just the functional technicalities. And then we have something which is, that's called lemaila afilu min asirus d'lasata. It's beyond what we can reach on our own, even reaching out to God. Well, lemaila mizeh, and beyond this is shemamshech yisa havaya panav elecha, that God should turn his face to you. Which nesiyas haponim, the turning of countenance, obviously anthropomorphism, but if a naila yes in a very lofty way, even higher than bechinas vichu neko. And unfortunately, we're out of time. But that's essential. The essential point we took away with today is how birchas kohenim is a blessing from beyond. This is it's a priestly profusion that's not simply bringing what's already yours, but bringing to you that which you never could have imagined having. It's like the concept of prayer, and it's the highest form of blessing, as we can see in the details. Now here, the rest of the maimer, the second half of the maimer, the Rebbe goes off to analyze the concept of grace. And the concept of God turning his face, or what seems to be showing favoritism. And that provides an inherent contradiction. It says God's lay yis upon him. God does not show favoritism. God does not turn his countenance. And he's impervious and impartial. And now we're saying he's partial. How does that work? And he explains how through our avodat Hashem, of us going beyond the call of duty, we're able to elicit from within divinity a response that's beyond the call of duty. And because we go beyond the call of duty, God goes with us beyond the call of duty. And that's the idea of a countenance and showing favoritism and so on and so forth. And then there's the third part of the Maimer, which takes us in a whole different direction and talks about how these different levels of Kohanim and Birchat Kohanim are also connected to a whole other idea and concept of Torah and three levels of Torah. And all this comes down to, let's get blessed with these realities in real time. That Mashiach should finally come. And we should hear and share only good news. Shabbat Shalom. Good Shabbos to everybody. Thank you for joining us. And hopefully we will see Birchas Kohanim unfold in our life and in our time in the most wonderful way with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira u'yameinu. Amen.